humbled and blessed. We're going to talk about this because in these troubled times, you need to know the security that God has there for you. And the word in the Hebrew for poor doesn't necessarily mean what it does in the English for poor. It means humbled, where you humble yourself before God. Now, we're going to go to the 10th Psalm to begin with. I want to explain before we begin that it is to the man of the earth, and or the lawless one, you might say. We happen to be connected to our Father who is in heaven. But this is an acrostic psalm, and it carries over from the 9th chapter. Therefore, I'm not going into it, but you with companion Bibles, it will explain it in detail. It's one of the more complicated acrostics that you'll have in the Word, and one of the most beautiful. So it has to do with strengthening you when you humble yourself before the living God, and when anything comes against you politically and or otherwise. So with the word of wisdom from our Father, let's get right into it. Called Humbled and Blessed. Chapter 10 of the great book of Psalms. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Question. Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? I hope you know he doesn't. Okay. But if people get bewildered, they might think that. Okay. But if you call him, he hears you. Always. Verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. That's to say the humble. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Let them trip their own selves up in their wickedness, their scheming plots to take over the world or to manage the world, with Satan's evil forces being thereof behind. Verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. That's his soul's desire. And blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. No, he only thinks of himself, and he blesses taking other people's property more so than anything else. And that's not a very humble way to approach people, is to rip them off. Satan has a bad habit of that. And those that follow him also. Verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all their thoughts. They try to do away even with you when you mention God, or when you talk about our Savior. They smirk. They make light of it. How in touch can one be away from the blessings of God? Because God blesses his own. He always hears you. He will always protect you. But if you let yourself get caught up in the thoughts of the world, that is to say of the lawless one, who is the prince of the power of the hour now? Satan is. Okay. It's the time of Jacob's trouble coming. And you must fortify yourself with the sure, certain knowledge the humble inherit the earth. That's to say the meek, same word. We inherit the earth. The others are going to be without. So certainly there's nothing poor about that. Verse 5. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He snorts at them. He could care less. And his enemies happen to be the humble, those that follow God. Verse 6, he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. And he is all the time, throughout generation to generation, throughout the age, the first earth age, this one, and he won't be in the one to come. Verse 7, his mouth is full of cursings and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. That's all he can talk about. That's all he can plan about. He might even try to mix the word of God into some of his acts, you know, claiming to be. Won't fly, friend. Father's still on the throne. Verse 8. He sitteth in the lurking places of the village. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. Takes advantage of them. This murder means spiritual death. By pulling you away from the truth, you're spiritually dead when you separate yourself from the living God. His eyes are privily set against the poor. That's to say the humble, the unfortunate into the time of the so-called man of the world. I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to be blessed in the man of the world, because it's a sure trip to hell, okay, without repentance. So you don't want to go there. You're rich in truth and leadership when you follow the living God. When you are humble, you are blessed always, both now and forever. Verse 9, he lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. That is to say, to catch the weak in understanding, the people that haven't been taught properly. They can be maneuvered, outmaneuvered even. He doth catch the poor, the weak, when he draweth him into his net. Using psychology of whether it be political in or otherwise, religious psychology that draws and makes void the word of God, for it's nothing but pure traditions of man, not the word of God. And the weak get ensnared in that and caught up in it, the weak in knowledge. Verse 10, he croucheth and humbleth himself. Oh, he tries to play that part, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He tries to play the part even of Christ, if you would. But he's always got his back, his strong ones, ready to knock off the weak, to take advantage of them. You want to keep your eyes open in these end times and stay in the Father. Humble yourself before him and be blessed. I would say again, you with companion Bibles, be sure you do the research on the acrostic that is finished in this Psalm 11. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten, he hideth his face, he will never see it. I could do what I want to these people. They're gullible. They'll follow anything I say. And you know something? He's just about right to some extent. The people can be misled so easily. If you have a few DDs and BSs behind your name, you know, people like to listen. But they never quite get around to getting to God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what God hath to say. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. That's to say those that are afflicted, that is to say the meek, and he will not. They're his own, they're the elect, and they're the ones that God will use to bring in and to destroy the subject of chapter 9 and 10 in Psalms, the man of this earth. He's not going to last long. Okay. Verse 13, wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. God's not going to investigate it. God doesn't have to investigate it. He knows every move. He knows their thoughts even before they put them to work. He's got their number big time. And also he has yours when you're humble before him and you're blessed by him. Verse 14, thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thine hand. The poor, that's to say the humble, committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Not accepting the fake father, but waiting for the true. And certainly, why? When Christ died on the cross, you became an orphan, so to speak, until the second advent, when he returns. But when you commit yourself to be humble before him, to stick with him, there is certainly no weakness in being humble before God. Why? Because God's power is behind you. You and God make a majority. it is only to those of the world, the man of the earth, that it might seem weak. But it's the most powerful thing in the world is the love of the living God and to be humble and blessed by Him. Verse 15, break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. I mean, cleanse the earth of them. You know what? That's exactly what God is going to do. That's why you want to remain humble and be blessed. Because we're going to have a cleansing. It's coming. It's not that far away. Verse 16. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of the land. Heathen means those that don't care anything about God. They don't wish to know anything about God. Not of God. And so it is. They're going to be out of the land. Verse 17. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. The humble are blessed by God. Do you know why He opens their ears and they can hear the truth? The eternal truth. Many ears are closed and many eyes are closed as well to seeing the truth. And they follow the man of the earth in these final hours, the time of our trouble. Make sure you don't go there. Be attuned to our Heavenly Father and know His promises that He walks with us, that He blesses us. And the wicked are going nowhere other than out. You don't want to make that trip with them. Remain humble and blessed before and in the presence of the living God. Verse 18, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. The man of the earth, of course, is the lawless one and those that follow him. You can count on it. Their day is coming and it's not that far away. I know sometimes it's difficult to be patient, but when you see the rip-roaring events, current events, like a locomotive racing to a dead end, that's what it's like today when you connect current events with biblical prophecy. They haven't got all that long to go. Make sure you stay out of their tracks. Make sure the lawless one is not something you cut a pattern after. Well, but there will be some weak that will say, well, it just seems like they always get ahead. Don't kid yourself. God wrote a special psalm to document that. It's another acrostic psalm. It's the 37th. You've heard me mention it many times. And we're going to go there. It's appropriate for this day. Psalms 37. This also is an acrostic psalm. It has set aside within it three verses because of the lines in the verse that separate it in the Hebrew alphabet. If you want to make a note of it, it's the 7th verse, the 20th verse, and the 34th verse. I will call it to your attention as we go through. The question is, why does it seem like the humble always lose and the wicked get ahead? Well, he lets you know. Psalms 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't you admire them? Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Their day's coming. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily, thou shalt be fed. Fed with what? The truth. The truth from God's word. When you trust Him and humble yourself before Him, He will see to it. Don't be envious of the man of the earth. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know something? He does that. Because why? What should your desires be? Serving Him, being humble before Him, and helping your brothers and sisters, even though some of them are so bewildered and so lost, it's pitiful. wrapped up in the ways of the world, ignorant to what is happening. But it doesn't matter. As long as I get a paycheck and go from one day to the next, it'll be all right. Well, it won't. Payday's coming. And the humble and blessed, it's their day. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. I know that to be a fact. I have lived that, taught it, and enjoyed it. My pleasure is bringing the Word of God to ears, new ears, not necessarily old ones that have the truth, but new ones, expanding, bringing people into the flock. Why? To make it a big flock? No, to save their souls from the man of the earth, from confusion and delusion. Verse 6, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. He will hang it all on you. Now here comes part of the acrostic. Verse 7 is the question. Rest in the Lord. That means put your faith in Him. And wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That is to say, an ish. You don't want to go there. Don't fret about why it seems like they're crooks. They mislead. They have to pay for that. And the cost of it is enormous, because it's a trip to a burning lake if they're not careful. But at the same time, being humble, if we can convince them, we're going to change some minds, even of the wicked ones. But the lawless one, too late for him. That is to say, Satan. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't worry. That's what it means. Well, I just can't hardly help worrying, and this business of being patient, I just can't hardly wait. Well, ease your pack down and take five, okay? Just take a deep breath. God knows what He's doing. You don't. Okay? And you better thank God He's doing it for you. So you can practice patience. You can wait on Him. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The humble inherit everything. Do you want to know who the poor are? They inherit the earth. That is to say, those that are humble. And as I stated earlier, in the Hebrew tongue, it's a different word, means a different thing. It means to be humble, and we inherit the earth. For yet a little while, verse 10, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You can look. They won't be there, friend. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And this word meek is the same word as humble. Okay. The wicked plotteth against the just. They're dreaming stuff up of how to take advantage. And gnasheth upon him with his teeth. They will say bad things until it will be so unpopular to say you're a Christian. Many people will dread to say they are. Don't ever do that. You are a Christ man. And you're the one that has the blessings, not them. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. And it is. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor, that's to say the humble and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Those that know the truth, they're going to try to do you in. And that's good. That's one of the reasons you'll be delivered up before the false Messiah, so the Holy Spirit can speak through you. It's our day. And to inherit the earth is an awesome thing. It is so beautiful when it gets transformed back into the original state that it was. And you're going to be there forever. How precious that is. Talk about happiness. Talk about joy, fulfillment, and being worthwhile to serve Him instead of getting into the ways of the filth of this earth. Is blessed in Him. 15, their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. They're going nowhere, friend. You don't have, they can't harm a hair on your head. Why? Well, God loves you. Verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. You want to let that sink in real good? You want to know where real wealth is? I'm going to read it to you again. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. You're just better off. Why? You own the whole earth. You're going to inherit it. 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. He always does what is right. When you do what's right, He's going to do what's right. When you do what's wrong, guess what? Gets gourd thumping time. And your gourd is going to get thumped. Why? You're one of His elect. He wants you to straighten up. He loves you. He will correct you. Verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. You're not playing around with something that'll wear off in 12 months. It's forever and ever. That's an eternity of happiness with Him. Nothing in the world is worth that. Nothing in this world is worth giving that up, is what I should say. 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. When everyone else is hurting for truth, they're not starving for bread. It's for hearing the word of God. That's what they're starving for. And let it be written as it is in the great book of Amos chapter 8. And here, verse 20, is another part of the acrostic. It's one of the three legs of this acrostic in this particular chapter. What does it say? It lets you know what's going to happen to the wicked. It told you not to worry about them in verse 7. Now it tells you in verse 20 what's going to happen to them. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. Have you ever seen a fat lamb on a spit turning over a bed of coals? And the fat drips down into the hot fire and pew, it's up into vapor forever. He said, you don't want to fret about them. They're going to get it. The people of this earth, that is to say, the lawless ones, they're going to catch it big time. You don't have to fret about it. You don't have to worry about it. Well, I just have a hard time being humble. No, you don't. You love the Lord, and that's the beginning of wisdom. Is to know and love Him. Now, we're going to, for the sake of time, we're going to skip all the way to verse 34, which is the third leg of this. It gives you the answer of where you're going to be. Verse 34, Psalms 37. Wait on the Lord. How important is patience? And keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. Thou shalt see it. In other words, do you understand that? Don't let it slip away from you. You're going to be there in person to see it happen. So when the wicked try to come against you, you got nothing to worry about. Father's watching. He knows. Their day is numbered. So as this psalm so accurately depicts, is what they get and what you get. So don't worry about what the wicked are. It'll help you be patient to know Father's on the throne. Satan is going to tempt you. He's going to attack you. You know something? He knows your every weakness. So guess what he's very intelligent. So guess what he's going to work on? Your weakness, of course. So in these end times, be especially prepared. Let him feed you with the real truth. And the outcome of this is, he doesn't wait until the eternity to bless you. He blesses you today, whereby you prosper and things go your way, whether other people like it or not. There you are. You're blessed. You're humbled and blessed. Now to complete, let's go with Psalms 112. Let's just stay in Psalms here for a little bit. Whoops. This kind of puts the plug into the barrel, okay? Kind of lets you know what God's thoughts are. You know, he loves us so very much that he hides some of the truth away from the world. That's why you have acrostics. Don't make it a big thing. There's nothing big about it. When you have the tools, like a companion Bible, to check it out, God has a special message for you there. He wants you to be assured that he's with you, that he knows you when you're humble and blessed, that he stays with you both night and day. Psalms 112, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Do you know what the beginning of wisdom is? You'll find it in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Fearing the Lord, that word also means revere, okay, to love. To love him is the beginning of wisdom, because if you love him, you're going to stick to his word. You're going to want to know what he says, because what he says is the way it's going to be. Many times when Jesus would be walking through a community, they would say, Master, dear Master, tell us. He said, you've had it for years. Haven't you ever read it? It's in your hand. Read it, for it is written. And so it is that he blesses you in that. And when you delight in his commandments, which is this word, you're going to have those blessings. Verse 2, his seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. You can count on it. You know, the good blessings that happen to us that follow him, I'm talking about the ministry especially, how in the world could you be so blessed? It's so simple. Because we're humble before him and doing his bidding. That's all he requires. His commandments. Verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. He always does what is right. Well, it seems to me like he does me wrong sometimes. No, you're just confused. If you think he's done you wrong, probably he's just thumped your gourd because you messed up big time. And he doesn't like it. Why? Because he loves you. He wants to get your attention, straighten your case out, so that you can be back among the blessed. Verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. For who? For you. For you that follow him. You're never in the dark. You're always in the light, for Christ is that light. And you know and understand, darkness is to not know. Verse 4, unto the upright there, we got that, okay. Verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. That means with common sense. What does he lend? Knowledge. You know, so many people say, "What God gives much, He from those God gives much, He expects much." You bet. If He gives you an understanding of truth, He expects you to share it. He expects you to teach it, to put it out there, not to hide it under a bushel. You just go ahead and hide it under a bushel, and He will cut you off. You just received all you're going to until you rip that basket off and let that light shine and get back in the harness and start working with Him, not against Him, or not selfishly to yourself. You have to share the light. That's what it's all about. Leaven works both ways. Leaven that is sin contaminates the whole loaf. But leaven that is Christianity also leavens the whole loaf sooner or later. Truth catches on. People are drawn to it. They hunger for it. This earth today, they're starving for it. And how precious it is that God chose a family to take forward that beautiful truth, to lend it, to invest it. Not money. Truth. God's Word. Verse 6. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. That's why you can be patient. God's got a plan. It's going to go that way. You can read about it, and it makes it a lot easier to wait. Verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You don't spook a warrior for the Lord. Okay. You may try to. You're not going to spook him. Why? He's read the book. He knows that God is with us. He knows every trick, basically, that Satan will try to pull. And at least with the Holy Spirit within him, he or she can recognize the evil spirit working far enough out to trumpet. And how precious it is to know that God loves you and God will use you. It's everlasting, and Father knows. Never afraid. Verse 8 to continue. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. It's a work, and it's a war. It's a spiritual war. And we're in it. And we will be satisfied, but not until when? Not until we see our enemies, our desire taken upon the enemies. 9. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever, his horn shall go be exalted with honor. If you want to, who are the pure, the humble that really want to know the truth? They're weak in the word, beloved. They need understanding. They need explanation. They need the simplicity in which Christ teaches. And you've got to share that with them. You have to plant those seeds. That's the most beautiful thing in the world, is to be used of God. To plant those seeds, to lift up. When Satan's trying so hard today to tear down, to mislead, to misguide, politically, religiously, all four hidden dynasties, education, banking, all the way through, you've got to be on guard. Why? You're in the battle. You're a soldier for Almighty God. Verse 10 to complete. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. You know, the greatest gift that God ever sent to us, there was a little woman. And you can read of it in Matthew 26. She had one little precious vial of ointment. And she took that vial and she anointed Almighty Christ for his burial. And the men in the crowd, chip, 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 chip. We could have taken that and we could have helped the poor. and the poor were being helped because the greatest gift they were ever given was anointed for his death, burial, and resurrection. Do you know what Christ said about that little humble woman? Everywhere the Word of God is taught, that woman will be mentioned. For she, in knowing, you'll have the poor with you always. You have the humble with you always. That's good. And you're going to have some that are just weak in truth. But that woman who gave her all to anoint the greatest gift that man could ever have is Christ giving himself for our sins on repentance. Giving us, that nailed the fact. It defeated Satan. It brought to pass. Well, document that for me. I'd be happy to. It's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Christ came to this earth to die on the cross to destroy death, which is to say the devil. That's why he did it, to get him off your back. So everywhere the gospel is preached, that woman must be mentioned. She was important because she was humble. And those that are humble before God are his delight. They are his pleasure. They are the people that he uses. That's why it is written, the meek, the humble shall inherit the earth. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the privilege of being allowed to serve you, Father. Thank you, each and every one of us in this family, in this ministry, Father, called Shepherd's Chapel and just Christ's ministry around the world, Father. Bless them and let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with in these times of trouble, Father. Where the man of this earth tries to excel, let's take him down. We're with you. Use us as you so choose. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Mark of the Beast on CD is our free.